This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's
I'm every trash, damn team for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And a good Tuesday. December the 7th, 2021. The show is DPHRO and Rothenberg. There are 13 weeks in the rearview mirror of the NFL season. Without any further ado, let's say good morning to a man that really needs no introduction. He is your goaltender, number 39, Rick DPHRO. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, David. No more goalie. Coach.
Save DiPietro!
We've hung up the pads. The pads are officially hung up.
I think in a pinch. I think in a real desperate measure. If someone, a high school team, you're masked up. So really, for a high school team, you could just skate out there. Nobody would really know. Maybe a club team, something like that. I think you have one more in you. One more.
I actually had the thought, it's funny that you say that. I actually had the thought yesterday that maybe I'll throw the pads on just as a little treat, like get out there, play some goalie.
Yeah.
I tweaked my hamstring putting on a sock. I'm good. There's no chance I'm getting back in net.
Yeah, it's probably not a great idea. Listen, you're in an advanced age. You are now middle-aged. You are.
Why do you need to say that on this too? After what you saw last night, you got to say this? Like after what I had to watch last night, you gotta come at me like this, that I'm middle-aged now. I gotta realize at 5:01 on a Tuesday that I'm a middle-aged man now.
Well, had you not realized it at all? Like it took me bringing this to your attention for you to understand that you're in fact middle-aged. I mean, the average life expectancy for a man in this country is what, like 78, 77?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Nana Jenny is, I mean, she's 92.
Right. So I'm
thinking.
That's only one example.
Well, no, it's not.
How old
no,
were
it's
your,
not.
Did your
no.
other grandparents live to?
Okay, listen, here's the thing, though. Mm-hmm. So, Nana Edie, God rest her soul, she ended up having Alzheimer's, but she was the best. Like, to the point where...
I don't care how great she was, how long did she live?
She had Alzheimer's, though. Like, I can't use that as an example. Like, up until the time, like, she was driving in her mid-80s. Like, she was...
All right, so that's good,
all
though.
All her faculties, everything. My dad's side of the family, I mean, we're talking... mid-90s. His aunts
All
are
right.
mid-90s.
All right, so if you're playing the numbers then you have a chance. Then maybe in fact, you're not middle-aged.
So I got 5 years. I figure I have 5 more years. Give me to 45, and then we can have a conversation.
To be middle-aged?
Then I'll be middle-aged, yeah.
I'll give you 2.5.
I'll take that. I'll take 42 and a half.
I'll give you 42 and a half, then you're middle-aged, and then it's downhill from there.
Well, promise me this, because your 50th is coming up, and we're going to...
No, my 49th is coming up.
Well, no, I know your 49th is coming up.
Listen, when you get to this advanced age, you're not rushing anything.
Yeah, but here's what I'm saying, though, is because I love you so much that I'm going to start putting plans into motion now, knowing that I have the extra year till we're 50. So we're going to blow 50 out. Promise me that for 42 and a half, we blow it out for me.
Okay.
42 and a half, I want to have a celebration. Not 43, not 42. 42 and a half, that's when we celebrate.
I could put together some kind of a dinner party, but who knows who would bail out last minute? Who knows?
Santiago probably would.
No. Listen, I think Ray has real problems. We've been through it. Ray and I, we don't get along often. He says stuff horrendously like he did yesterday on the show. Just stupid, moronic stuff.
You can be completely naked, do whatever you want.
Yes.
But... That being said, the dinner party, and Raymond is very busy, was not his fault. That goes to Geppetto. One RJ Santillo ruined the dinner party.
No, he did not ruin it. He postponed it. I think our sweet spot is sometime in February. I think that's our sweet spot.
Great. So how excited am I supposed to get for a dinner party in February?
I think you should be very excited because, I mean, you've had so many. You've had Thanksgiving. You got Hanukkah. We got Christmas coming up. Then we got New Year's. We have this void. There'll be this void of things we need to do. So we sprinkle in a dinner party.
How about I got it. I got it. I have it. I've just received it. Like that moment of clarity.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Potluck Thanksgiving dinner party.
Oh, my God, I love you. I love everything about you. You've never had a better idea in your entire life.
How good is that? Potluck Thanksgiving dinner party.
Why don't we do it on like a wild card Saturday?
No,
maybe?
No.
What do you mean no?
No. Well, first of all, the guys won't. Second of all, I need to concentrate. I don't want people. I don't want little kids.
What? Because the Giants are going to be in it?
No, not the Giants are going to be in it. I you don't understand. Football to me, it's closer to God and religion than in fact religion is. I'm not going to be there and have small talk. And you don't need the way back music, Ray. Doesn't make any sense there. All right, I don't need. Oh, isn't Baby Rocco cute? Hey, why don't you hold Baby Rocco? I don't need that. I don't want that. Oh, Ange, come on over. When are you guys going to try to have a baby? No, I don't want that. I don't want. Have you tried the dark meat? Try the dark meat. I want to focus on Rams Cowboys. I don't want to focus on side stuff for the dinner party. I work with little babies. I want the dinner party to be the dinner party. I want the wild card to be the wild card. I don't want to mix and match my events.
All right, so maybe we go that Friday then, leading into the wild card weekend. Maybe we do something like that as a precursor to get you all excited for the wild.
I would do that. It feels almost unlikely that on a Friday that would happen. I would say it's more likely it's a post-Super Bowl Thanksgiving dinner party on a weekend. That seems more likely to me, but if you want to put together on a Friday, that's fine. Fine with that.
Why do you treat me like that, though? Why do you have such disrespect for me that I would invite you to my home on wild card weekend? And then have a dinner party on a Saturday where you can't sit there and really focus on football. Like, I would have people
because
coming up to you while you're trying
to focus. Because I think
it would be
beyond your control. I think it would be beyond your control.
No, it wouldn't. Baby Rocco's in bed by 7, first of all. Second of all, kids could be downstairs playing the entire time. Whoever wants to watch football stays and watches football. Cass loves football. And
you know what this
football
means? This is an 8:20 game. So now I'm not leaving during the game. I know you. Bedtime happens early. So I'm there. I don't care if you give me my own room. I'm there. I mean, Michael Kay, for all the angst he gives me, he gets me. During the Super Bowl, he said, listen, there's a safe space for you, okay? There's a room off the room
like that
where
kind of
if you're not feeling comfortable, you go in there and you watch the game by yourself. That's what I need.
Yeah, but this is even better then. I mean, this works out even better then. Now, because it's going to be a potluck Thanksgiving, we eat. Game kicks off at 8, right? Your kids are still up because they're older. My kids are in bed. We've already had
Rocco will go to bed. I believe that. Ella won't care. No way you're going to get Milo to go to bed.
Guaranteed.
There's no way. Wild card weekend. Two older kids who are into sports and are fun. That Milo's going to be like, all right, guys, good night. It's not going to happen.
No, he'll go to bed. No. Listen, Ben and Alex are leaving. Milo, time for bed. Okay, Dad. Love you guys. Night. He goes to bed. We're probably 2 or 3 bottles of wine deep at this point. And
wait a minute. You want to lie to Milo?
Oh, fudge the truth a little bit.
No, that's
really
a lie. You lie to your children?
It's in the best interest of the child.
You want to say, all right, so what are we going to do? Put the jackets on Ben and Alex and say, all right, guys, thank you so much. Then Milo up to bed. Then they double back.
Goodbye.
Oh, my God.
What do you mean you spent almost the entire, until what time of their lives are you lying to them almost about everything?
I don't know. That seems like a bold-faced lie, though. I don't want to be part of that. What happens if the kid gets up and wants to come down for a drink of water, and there's Ben and Alex just hanging out watching Wild Card Weekend? That's therapy for the kid. That's awful. I will not be a part of that.
You'll do it.
No, I won't.
You'll shut your mouth and you'll sit there and watch the game and like it while I feed you handmade dessert.
Yep. I don't know. I think we should probably talk about sports now. I can't believe you so flippantly were just like, well, we lied to Milo. I got your holiday card, your Christmas card, as it would
be. That's a nice card, isn't it?
It's a beautiful card. The kid is adorable, looks just like you as a young child. I mean, and now you want to lie to this cherubic face? I will not have it.
Yeah, as opposed to the, just put your tooth under the pillow. And it just money just magically appears. Stop. He needs to be in bed by 8:20. Probably have a hockey game on Sunday morning.
And we're going to lie. And we're going to lie about it to get it done. How far do we go with the lie? Do they put their jackets on? Do they put their beanies on? How far do we go?
Yes. Maybe turn the car on.
Really? So we might have. So I might have to perpetuate your lie by, all right, guys, use the fob. I might have to use the fob.
No, you're using the fob. I may even have you go drive around the neighborhood.
So I might have to leave. I might have to leave. I'll go to Dunkin' Donuts. I'll get coffee for the game, donuts for the game, and then come back.
That's actually not a terrible idea. You go get the coffee. We get dessert ready.
It's not a terrible idea. I think it's a great plan. I feel dirt. We need to move on. I'm not a truth fudger. I feel awful about this, that you would even suggest this. All right. So a couple things. First of all, there is something just magical about the Patriots, really. I mean, the way that they are able to win games, the way they win games, there is something absolutely magical about them. So that's for starters. We'll get into that. Hear from Belichick, Mac Jones, all of it. And also, we made a demand, and it's going to be, I think, phenomenal today. Omar, who we said you must call your band till February 1, already on the line, on the heels of what has to be a stinging Bills loss for him.
Has to be a stinging loss. That right there, I mean, forget the loss. The Patriots win is a stinging win for
everyone else.
The entire AFC.
Yes.
The entire AFC, especially the AFC East. We spent all this time talking about Zach Wilson and is Robert Saleh a good head coach? It doesn't matter. Right now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. What are you laughing about? It doesn't matter.
No, I know. I know. You're going to have no passing game. You don't trust the kid in the weather. That's fine. Just run it every single play but three. They took their manhood. We're going to run the ball. The Giants can have a full weaponry of we can do play action, we can throw the ball, we can run the ball, and they can't move it. The Patriots can say, we forget about the passing game. We're going to play like 1946 Navy football or even current Navy football, and there's nothing you can do about it. Nothing.
No, nothing. You know we're going to run, and we're going to run it right down your throat.
It's the most emasculating thing of it, isn't it? Here's where we could give it to you on a silver platter. Here's what we're going to do, and you can't stop it.
They went three quarters with throwing the ball one time. Three quarters.
One time.
And they just gashed them with the running game. But they're a well-oiled machine, dude, too. I mean, even you watch, like, the missed, like, the last two possessions for the Bills, where they actually moved the football and had a chance to score. So you had the Josh Allen back shoulder throw to Steph Diggs, which was open, but it wasn't a well-thrown ball. It's into the wind. I get it. And then you missed the field goal where you watch the Patriots do it. And they know exactly which way the wind's going, which hash they need to be on to make sure they put the kicker in the best spot to make the field goal, and they make the field goal. Buffalo, they're on the wrong hash, and he misses the field goal. It's like they are so well coached.
All the little things.
And they do all the little things right.
Yep. And then you watch what we have here in the Giants and the Jets, and you know, the quarter is running out and you burn a timeout. You have a 3rd and 23 and you burn a timeout. You don't know what's happening. And the same with the Jets, who can't stop a nosebleed. And then you look at New England, and they are as buttoned up and well-coached. And you think, look what they have, and look what we have here.
Well, yeah, I mean, just think about it. I mean, the mistakes down the stretch that cost the Bills. I mean, I mentioned the pass.
You missed the field goal.
Then you take a sack. Then you miss the field goal. Then you have a false start penalty. I mean, those things add up. Those are the things that it's the controllable things. It's the things going into a game that you can control. And it's the mental mistakes. And the Patriots did have the one mistake, which was the only touchdown that Buffalo scored with the short field on the muffed punt. But besides that, I mean, watching that game last night was maybe one of the most frustrating experiences of my life.
Did you love that game? I loved that game last night. And I saw a lot of people on Twitter, oh, this is so boring. To me, that was the exact opposite. Like, that to me is just phenomenal football. I adored that game last night.
Well, I wouldn't go as far as say I adored the game.
I did.
I was jealous. I'm sure Buffalo Bills fans probably feel the same way. I'm sure Miami Dolphins fans probably feel the same way. I'm sure everyone in the AFC right now feels the same way. I mean, you go into Buffalo with those kind of weather conditions, and you're watching the pregame. I mean, the wind is swirling. There's snow. There's rain. I mean, you're watching the kickers was hilarious. Balls were just taking sharp turns. And Bill Belichick's up there with the rookie quarterback, and the game kicks off, and they're just pounding the football, and you realize Bill Belichick's team is actually built better.
Oh, yeah.
Is more suited to playing Buffalo than Buffalo.
Well, because Buffalo can't run the ball. Not even a little bit. And they get down to the 5-yard line. First to go at the 5. And did you ever have the thought that, oh, they're definitely going to get in here? I never did. Never once.
No. But, even at the end of the game, you watch them play, and it's like they have spent the entire week studying what they were going to do and know what's going to happen almost before it happens. And everyone is doing exactly what they're being asked to told. They run the ball. You got tight ends blocking. You got wide receivers blocking. I mean, it's like poetry in motion watching it. And we sit here every day talking about, the Jets and the Giants. And do the Giants need to fire their coach? Can Robert Saleh actually coach? How poorly coached both of these teams are. And then you watch that.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm wasting my breath.
It's the other side of things. It's how it's supposed to look. That's what you see. On Sunday, you see how it's not supposed to look. On Monday, what is it supposed to look like? Like that.
We can beat you however we want to beat you. Like, we need to just run the football, we can just run the football. Like, whatever we need to do to win on that week, we can do it. Because, again, and that is the genius of Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's main goal as a head coach is to put each player in position to have success. Whatever that player does well, that's exactly what Bill Belichick asked that player to do.
But here's the thing that's so disheartening, and we'll break and come back and get to your calls and really dive into the locals as compared to what New England is. That's what Joe Judge was supposed to be. He is a disciple of Bill Belichick, and you feel like you got the wool pulled.
Yeah, but
over
what does
your
he do
eyes.
Though? Explain to me what he does, because I know after listening to the Manning Cast last night, and Aqib Talib was on, and they asked him, "How involved is Bill with the defense?" He said, "Oh no, Bill's the defensive coordinator. That's what Bill does. Like it's him. He's very involved. Like that's his side of the ball. Josh McDaniels handles the offense. I mean, now you go watch back video. I mean, Bill was breaking down defensive coverages for Tom Brady to just give him an idea of what the defense is thinking in certain situations. So he's helping Brady out. He's got his hands all over the defense. And then, you get a chance to see the result. Like, explain to me exactly what Joe Judge is doing. Because I thought the offense was going to be collaborative, right? Like, once we fired Jason Garrett, everything would be fixed. It would be collaborative.
I haven't seen it yet. I don't have the answers. I don't have the answers for either of the local teams. Let's break. We'll come back and we'll continue the conversation. 800-919-3776. And don't think I've forgotten about this Thanksgiving in February. And I'm not lying to your children. But Thanksgiving in February, that's got to happen.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
First of all, you could tell how much Bill Belichick enjoyed that last night.
Oh, yeah. That was a big hug with Steve.
Oh, with a smile on his face.
Oh,
how happy
hug.
He was. It's nice when a game plan comes to fruition the way it did for them last night.
I guess it must be. Yeah,
I guess it
must be.
I think we need to hear from Omar ASAP.
All right. Okay. Let's go. I'm a little nervous, but I am pleased that he did follow through. Let's bring him on. It could get very heated. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning. I put a lot of into this game. Everybody did as a Buffalo fan, but I'm not worried. In the end of the third quarter, when McDermott told them to run blitz and go with them, and when the two consecutive run plays, they 2-3 yards down the. That's what I was. You know what I said? What were you waiting for? What were you waiting for? That's what you have to deal with. That all the time. I said, figure it out. They were conservative, and that time McDermott on the fourth quarter first. Tell me that. 20 times I have seen reverse before I come to work. Tell me how, this was his question too in the press conference. He said, how do you call that a first down on fourth down play, fourth and inches? That how do you figure it out that you have to call that a first down? I understand you challenge it and you cannot change because you cannot see it. But what the hell was he seeing that he sees that it's the first down? That was McDermott's question. That's what he asked the referee. That's why I challenge, because tell me
Where did you see that he took that, take the first down? And they wasted 5-6 minutes out of it. They were figuring it out. If that play would not have happened, we would have 5 minutes. I don't have a problem. They figured out. Last possession, you were in the ball game. You missed a field goal at the time of possession. I understand. They went for 226 yards rushing. That's a physical nature of it. But at the end of the third quarter, they know, okay, you're not going to beat us like that. They figured it out. Yep. We missed our opportunity. We have 2 weeks to prepare for them mentally. They will be ready. Let's go build in 2 weeks. We will see. I was worried that this game will take mentally out of us. I don't think at the end of third quarter we started building it up.
But Omar,
and we have more momentum
Omar,
going into the fourth quarter.
You promised us. You said you would not allow a New England win in this game last night. And Omar, that's what happened on your
referee,
home field.
Referee put that fourth down. I thought that was a big, huge play of that game. Fourth and one, we get the ball, and we were still in that third quarter zone, and we didn't have 5 minutes. 5 minutes under our the wind consumer, we would have figured it out, and that would probably would have scored a touchdown there. They took 5 minutes out of that.
Come on,
even they
Omar.
Took out, that was
Omar,
a huge play.
Omar, you're going to sit here, and you're going to blame the officiating for that game last night.
I'm not blaming. It was a huge call. I'm not blaming referees. They won the game. The New England Patriots deserve to win. I'm not saying that. But that was a huge game. You can tell me that from any point of view that you can say that that was a first down. I didn't. 20 times I watched it replay. From every angle that I can replay and watch it. I did not see that how the refs can call that the quarterback went and get the first down. Did you see that he got the first down?
I thought it was debatable. I thought it was.
No,
I
no one
was
saw
a
it, but you made
coin.
The call on the field. There was no way that.
Here's what I didn't like challenging it. I'll tell you that. I thought that was ridiculous because they called it a first down. There was nothing that overturned it being a first down. So why would you challenge it and lose a timeout, which you desperately needed at the end of the game?
Yeah, I mean, that's the risk you run in that situation because once the call is made on the field, and then, I mean, it's just bodies on top of body. You couldn't even see where Mac Jones was.
No. You thought there was any chance they were going to overturn that and give the Bills the ball?
No, absolutely not.
That was a Joe
Judge
kind of challenge.
But Omar's not wrong, too. I mean, the third quarter, the Bills are going with the wind.
Correct.
They just kicked the field goal, and then the Patriots march down 8 minutes and 34 seconds and kick a field goal to answer back. And you know going into the fourth quarter that you're going against the wind, so good luck.
But you moved the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, they did. They had a chance.
I mean, they did. Listen, they missed a field goal. If you make that field goal, you probably win the game because you have now a chance at a chip shot field goal to win it. So you had your chances.
Yeah, you had your chances. But again, I mean, when you watch the way the Patriots execute and then you watch the Bills and now the Bills are a really good team, right? But they're, I mean, again,
but they're flawed.
Four-star penalty, sack, not being on the right hash, missed field goal. I mean, you can't, when you play the Patriots, you can't afford to make mistakes like that. They make you pay.
Absolutely. And how about this? And we complain about our teams, and it's fair, right, that our coaches are not in the same stratosphere as Belichick. How about similar situation, and all of a sudden Belichick throws the kitchen sink at Josh Allen, and then you watch Minnesota, and they're rushing three guys, and somehow a guy gets wide open for the touchdown. It's the nuances. Like you say, it's the little things that they do, they adjust, and other teams don't. I mean, why would you rush three guys if you're Minnesota in that spot?
Well, but it's not even that, though. But it's not even that, though. I mean, regardless of the fact that Minnesota rushed three, when you watch the back end of their defense and how they defended, like Minnesota's secondary is defending the back line. Like, they're defending the back of the end zone. And it's like, well, no. All you have to do is the ball only has to cross the goal line to score. Like, you're not defending the back of the end zone. And then you watch the Patriots.
Well, you have eight guys. You should defend every inch.
No, I know. But then you watch the play you're talking about where they send the kitchen sink.
Yep. And then they knock away the pass, right?
Yeah, but it's almost like he's seen, like he knows exactly what they're going to do. He falls off of Beasley and then steps in front of that. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the level of preparation that goes into each week for the Patriots, and it's always game plan specific. And then watching them execute, because, I mean, the whole concept of Bill Belichick is let's make sure we go into this game and not beat ourselves because most games are lost rather than won. So you know going in, like, do you imagine the amount of pressure that puts on the other coaching staff? Like, we have to call almost, we can't burn timeouts. Like, we have to call almost the perfect game because we know.
You actually have to be on your game, right?
Well, yeah, because the Patriots aren't going to make many mistakes. They're not. I mean, that's just that's one of the strengths of what they do. And if you do make mistakes, you're not going to play. But it's like
unless you're in Keel Harry, and then you for some reason keep getting chances.
He's a first round pick. He's a big dude too, by the way. But he does all the other stuff too, though. I mean, you watch their wide receivers block. You watch their tight ends block.
You have to. Are you gonna throw the ball three times? You better be able to block downfield if you're a wide receiver.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of these teams too. Like even like the Joe Judge stuff with the all we're gonna be this blue collar team, a team you're gonna be proud of. All this other lip service that he gives you, and I'm sure he's saying the same stuff to his team. And then you watch him go out and play, and you're like, well, this isn't what I was told it was going to look like. And then, like, Bill Belichick, do your job. And then you watch him play, and it's like, eh, well, he's not wrong. I'm watching this game. Everyone's doing their job.
Every single person does their job.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Let's hear from Donnie, because I listened to the Kay show for a decent amount yesterday, and I thought he had a great point, as he often does. By the way, he's very down on you. Very down on you.
For what reason?
I don't know. I think his rationale, he said it the other day when I joined their show, which I thought you heard, I guess because you never go on.
What am I supposed to do? Sorry, kids. I'm going to have to cancel practice because I have to make a pick on the Kay show.
No, I don't think you cancel. I think it's you excuse yourself for a quick, guys, I have a personal call I have to make, and you let an assistant run practice for 4 minutes.
It's not 4 minutes. It usually ends up being like 7 or 8 minutes. And no, okay. I can't. I'm not going to call from a CD cell phone line.
Why would it be
into
CD?
The K-Show.
Well, is it going to be like a burner?
Have you been on Long Island?
Why would it be seedy?
Well, because have you been on Long Island? The cell phone reception on Long Island? It's horrendous.
So you're at a rink? Go into the office and call from a landline.
No, first of all, I mean, you know the rink that I'm at, and it's in the middle of the woods. There's no
landline?
No, I don't need to go. You are more than equipped, and you.
I don't know. Every time I go on, I get critiqued.
Well, like, listen, because they like me better than you.
What?
They like me better than you. I'm a better guest than you.
Oh.
You've kind of mailed it in guest-wise. Your picks have been outstanding. But as far as the little extra you bring to the show, it's
all right, lacking. You know what? You go on this week. You really?
I can't. Obviously,
you're better than me. They like you better than me. You go on.
No, I'm working on Friday. I can't.
Well, sorry. Then no one goes on.
Well, that's fine. Hey, you want to be that guy? That's fine.
That's fine.
I'm actually working.
Well, you're actually working. Don't talk down to me. I mean, you're actually working.
I am working. I have a legitimate excuse.
You could excuse yourself for 5 minutes. And say, all right, I don't have a ton of time. Let me do a quick hit with the guys. Give my pick. You like me better than him. I am better than him anyway, and I'll improve their ratings and add levity to their show. Why don't you do that?
Well, you understand what they're trying to do, though. See, and you're going to let them do it. Is they realize that we're on a heater right now, and you've been making the picks. So what is he trying? He's trying to disrupt that. Why would we screw around with that right now? I haven't shaved for 3 days because I don't want to screw around with us winning hockey games. Now, it didn't work. But still, that's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. Now I'm going to shave today.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear it.
Before we hear from Donnie,
yeah.
Can I just say something? Because I think you feel the same way. And I know we don't feel the same way about our coaches right now here. Brandon Staley, I know we talked about him before because he had that, I mean, talking about the run game and how much you like that. Dude, this guy, I like this guy a lot, man. I'm sitting here reading an article. So Joey Bosa...
Yeah, he wouldn't put him back in because he was concerned for Bosa.
Yeah, as long as I'm the head coach here, I'm going to be making decisions like that in the best interest of our players. I mean, his play. How do you not fight tooth and nail for a guy like that?
I think you have to. Well, look at them. They're a pretty good football team right now.
No, I know, but we say that all the time. Like, we have these conversations. Like, you know, the coach has got to protect the player from himself. And then... Not every coach is like that. Coach is like,
yeah,
are you good?
But
okay,
if a coach says
there.
That, right, you're right. If a coach says that, you know what? I know you're cleared. Right, the neurologist, the doctor has cleared him, said Bosa can go back in. And Staley said, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that. That's a coach that you think to yourself is looking after your best interest, and you will run through a wall for him now.
Exactly right. Like, yep. He knows I have a concussion history. No. You know how important you are to the team? Listen, sit this one out. We'll figure it out. Yeah, your health is more important right now.
And
I mean, that's exactly what you want.
By the way, better guest? Why would you say that? I don't think you're a better guest. I'm funny. I'm charming. I'm witty. I don't think you're better.
Well, why would they want me instead of you if you were better?
I think because you never go on now. You've mailed it in.
No, I have not mailed it in.
We made an agreement. We'll rotate weeks. And then there was, and I felt so guilty too. Shame on me. Like week three, when Ben had a baseball game, I'm like, Rick, can you do me a favor? I know you did week two, but can you, I didn't know, should I ask him? You know what, I will. Can you do week three? You're like, okay, yeah, I'll do week three. Little did I realize, at this point of the season, Dave, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Like now I lock it in. That's just my thing at this point.
Yeah, but I don't understand why now you're letting them do this. Now they're trying to break us apart.
They're not going to break us apart. Stop it.
They realize the chemistry that we have going on. They realize
three in a row too.
That's what I'm saying. Why would we screw around with that?
Well,
be foolish.
You could also, if we discuss it, we go through it, we have the winning pick, and you deliver it instead of me, I think it works out just the same.
I like where we're at.
My point is Donnie took a shot at you, and I didn't.
That's because he's jealous of me and Michael. I see right through it. I see right through it.
I don't know.
That's fine. Let him keep growing out his hair and doing his thing. That's
you
fine.
Like you like that look? It looks
no.
good, right?
No.
No.
It's getting too long now. Really imagine what that looks like wet?
It looks like the third Ryan brother.
Do you know what the? Imagine what that looks like wet. That's dry. How long that must be wet?
It probably goes down mid-back.
It has to.
Like I got to be honest. I can't believe his wife signs off on that.
I don't think she really. I mean, what? Well, who cares? I mean, you're married. What's the difference?
Well, stop it.
Maybe she likes to pull on it.
Maybe she does. Let's hear from Don, who's very upset with you, who's got very long hair, on the K-Show yesterday about the coaching problem with the Giants and the Jets.
The Giants and the Jets look like they are not playing in the NFL. When I turn on their games, it's like I'm watching Arena League. It's Sunday, I sit down, and I can flip to any game. And when I flip onto the Jets and the Giants, I feel like I'm not watching NFL football. And that's because of coaching. Because you can't tell me their talent is that much better than everybody else in the league. Especially the Giants, who they spent a lot of money for. I'm tired of hearing about, oh, this guy's hurt, that guy's... Here's injuries all over the league! They're dragging guys off the field every game. And then somebody trots out that you never heard of before and runs for 30 yards or scores a touchdown or does something great. Why? Because they've got good coaching. It's a coaching league more than any other sport. And when you got coaching, you got a chance to win. When you don't have coaching, you see that.
It's a great, great statement.
You would kill. Right. You would kill as a Giants fan to turn on the TV and have your offense look like an arena league offense,
right?
Going
yeah,
up and down the field.
Throwing the ball off the wall. They should allow the Giants to do that. We'll extend it. Like CFL rules, you get a couple yards extra on the out of bounds. You can go deeper into the end zone. You can play the ball off the wall. It still wouldn't make a difference.
No, it wouldn't. No, not with how bad this offense looks right now. Yeah, I mean, we were talking about it before the show. I mean, the Giants have scored less points than the Jets.
Which is miraculous.
Which is crazy. I don't know, man. I think it's a combination of the both. I don't disagree with Don, but I also will say, I mean, it's tough to coach. And he mentioned the injuries. Like, this has been something that's gone on the entire season, though. Like, this
but
is from
happens with everybody.
No, I know it happens with everybody, but how? Like, with all the different offensive. First of all, when your offensive line already is bad, and now there's no continuity because guys are in and out of the lineup, and you have different. I mean, all these different. It felt like at the beginning of the season, it was how many games there was a different starting five on the offensive line.
I get it, but here's the thing. I'm sick of the excuses. I'm sick of it. The Jets stink, right? The Jets are a lousy team. They lose their star left tackle, and it doesn't sound like he's going to come back. I've heard nothing about him returning when he was supposed to be back weeks ago, and they plug in someone else, and it's not great, but it's okay. The Giants lose a guy, and it's the world ends. It's incredible that they can't somehow find a way. Here's my question for you. So the Giants are what? They're 4-8?
Yep.
If Bill Belichick was the coach of the Giants, what would their record be right now?
It would be better, but I wouldn't use Bill Belichick as the example.
No, but I'm just saying, like, if Bill Belichick was the coach of the Giants, are they 6-6?
They're a much better football team.
Okay.
But, I mean, if you had a legitimate quarterback, Are you 4-8? See, that's the thing. I mean, it's all of it. I mean, they're not well coached. They've had no continuity on the offensive side of the ball at all from the start of the season, training camp, all the injuries. Right, and their quarterback isn't great. Will Hernandez stinks. Nate Solder's not good. You can't stand Evan Ingram. Saquon Barkley's not the same running back.
So you're just going to talk us into bringing everyone back?
No, I'm not talking to you. I don't think they should bring. No, I think we're past that point now.
I mean, look at the Ravens.
It's not like this all of a sudden just happened. I mean,
look at the Ravens. You were the Ravens' offensive line, complete mess.
You have an MVP quarterback, though. Don't use that. See, that's another terrible example, though. You got one of the best coaches in football, and you have an MVP playing quarterback. Yeah, but you don't have any of that, though. Forget the coach. You don't have Lamar Jackson. You don't have Lamar Jackson. You have none of it. They always talk about what's the three most important things for a successful NFL team. It's GM, it's coach, and it's quarterback.
All right.
And currently, you don't have...
So what are the Giants with GM?
None of it.
An F.
You have none of it.
Huge F.
You have none of it.
Right now,
F. You can't... But stop just blaming it on one thing. You don't have any of them.
So blame it on everything. But you know what? The reason you don't have a quarterback, that's got to be the coach and the GM. The reason you don't have a good coach, that's an organizational issue. The quarterback stinks. I mean, you want to blame the ownership. You want to blame the GM. You want to blame the coach. You want to blame the quarterback. Fine. Blame it all. But it's completely broken right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But I can't blame it on just one thing. Where they were drafted or how much money you paid somebody doesn't necessarily mean that they're supremely talented. Should they be? Yeah, they should be. But a lot of the guys in the Giants that you think should be that are super talented, that's on reputation only. Like Saquon Barkley is the second overall pick, so he should be one of the best running backs in the league. He's not. Evan Ingram's a first-round pick. He should be one of the better tight ends in football. He's not.
Daniel Jones was a sixth overall pick.
Yeah, he should be. In his third year, he should have taken that next step. He hasn't. And now he's hurt and seeing neck specialists, which would lead me to believe that it's not just a stiff. I don't go to a neck specialist if I have a stiff neck.
No, you go to a chiropractor.
You walk
into a strip mall and you go to a chiropractor if you have a neck issue like that. Yeah, you don't start seeing specialists.
Yeah, so he's not playing. It doesn't sound like he's going to play Sunday. If it's a disc issue and he's not getting cleared for contact, I don't know how that's a good sign moving forward that he's going to come back.
I don't think it's a good sign. Whatsoever. Cullum in the Bronx. Good morning, Cullum. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Morning, Dave. Ricardo, how are we doing?
We're fine.
I'm terrible. I am awful. I've never been worse.
Don't lie. Don't lie to Cullum.
Cullum, you questioned my parenting, which is disgraceful.
Cullum, you're gonna be a parent. You're gonna be a parent.
My team lost last night, and then I got to watch Bill Belichick do.
Well, you got any advice? Well, what's your quick advice for me?
Yeah, I would say don't have bold faced lies.
Wear protection. Wear protection.
Don't lie like an animal to your children all over the place.
Oh yeah, because you've never lied to the kids.
Okay. I try not.
You've never lied to the kids.
I try not to.
Yeah, I'm your real father. Now, come on, stop, please.
I try not to. Sure. Bye, Alex. Bye, Ben. Right. Here's your jackets. Let me help you. Oh, Cher, so good to see you. All right, guys.
Because the mensch on a bench is a real thing. Oh, yeah, kids, look, it's this mensch. He just decided to
magically appear on the bench. We don't use the mensch on a bench. Call him, sit with me, sorry, for my co-host. Go ahead.
It's fine. Well, I was going to talk about you, David. So yesterday, you mentioned that this caller, Jennifer, was, you know, your all-time favorite caller and everything like that. And I heard another caller, Lonnie, just absolutely eviscerate you with how offended he was. I'm going to take it on a different note. I respect that you took that call, even though she may have only called a handful of times radio career.
Call him twice.
Okay, twice.
Not even a handful,
I'm sick of you. But I respect it. I respect it. He is an honest man. He may be a shotgun honesty and just throw it out there. And that's just the type of person.
Dave, watch your mouth.
I'm not offended. I just know that other callers like myself, like Lonnie, just need to step their game up a little bit more.
That's right. Maybe I was just challenging. See, Cullum gets me, Rick.
No, he doesn't.
And he gets me so well. And herein lies the difference. You will lie to those closest to you. You will lie to Milo. You will lie to Ella. I don't know when the lies stop with you and your little, you know, web of lies over there on Long Island.
I will walk up to you and punch you in the mush.
I won't even lie to the callers. That's the level of honesty that I bring to the table. So you can do what you do, and I will do what I do.
I love Cullum. Love him.
Mm-hmm.
Cullum is a Dave Rothenberg apologist is what he is.
Oh, stop it.
All he does is make excuses for you. Because that wasn't Dave. That wasn't Dave Rothenberg speaking when he said Jessica was his favorite. That was Little Dave speaking because Dave, for some reason,
that's Jennifer.
And then you decided, you know what? Forget all those relationships that we've built with Cullum and Lonnie and Pedro and everybody that's up at 5 a.m. tweeting the show.
Love those guys.
Yeah, I'm sick of you.
Just all that hard work right out the window. You know what? Two calls in. Jennifer, you're my favorite caller.
Okay.
I'm embarrassed for you.
I did not say all-time favorite caller. Don't have the history and tradition with Jennifer, but what we do have is a great back and forth, a wonderful rapport. I think she brings it strong every single time. And you know what? She is, at the moment, my favorite caller. Can that change? On a dime. But at the moment, she's my favorite caller, and I will not apologize for it. I bring a level of honesty that is really unknown to this show, and I'm comfortable with it.
No loyalty, none, zero. No wonder why the 7 and 8 year olds quit on you when you coach.
They don't quit. They don't even know who the kid is. I'm the Brandon Staley of youth coaching.
The kid's parents,
the wall.
The kid's parents move in, and you don't even realize the kid was on your team.
Well, he didn't do much.
It's embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
Question my parenting. Stop it.
You know, I've struck a chord with you, my friend, is what I've
question your radio host.
Because, you know, you want to do this all by yourself? I got a lot of reads today. You want to take them over? I don't know that you could.
I got one coming up. I got a new one coming up. I got to prepare for it.
A new one? I'm sure you do. If I prepared for all my reads, I you wouldn't even have me on the show. 37 reads today. 37. What do you have, two?
No, I got more than two today. This is a big day today.
What do we have today from you? Four? Five?
I got one at 5:57. I got an in-content read. How about that? You got to tee me up for that.
Well, I'm not told about that. On my list of 37, I see nothing about an in-content tee you up for a read.
I got five reads today, baby. Five.
Five. Wow.
Long ones. Not these little short, quick hitters that you do. Talk wireless. No, none of that garbage.
No, none of that. No. You have time to prepare, mentally, physically prepare for that. I wonder, do you lie to your reads or no?
Never lie to my reads.
No, you never lie. See, reads, at least you're honest to your reads.
My reads and my hips. Don't lie.
When it's game time, it's Tully time. This is no baby read. And Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So for Gangrene's December 12th, that's this Sunday, their matchup against the Saints, 98.7 ESPN has given away a grand prize VIP. Some would say VIP. I say VIP reservation for six with food and beverage at the Stumble Inn on 2nd Avenue in New York City. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN. You'll be one of 10 qualifiers to win a $50 Fanatics gift card and be in the running to score a game day out on us, all from 98.7 ESPN. So that's a beautiful thing. I'm supposed to set you up for a read? Is that RJ?
At 6 o'clock. 6 o'clock, are we up? In content.
I'm sorry. I was told 5:57.
So now no. I have a 5:57 read. At 6:12-ish, I have an in-content read for DraftKings.
Now that,
set me up.
That on my list, set Rick up for DraftKings read.
Yeah, you got to tee me up. A little Bagger Vance style. Right on the tee. I'll whack it.
I'm sure you will. Jerry in Brooklyn. Jerry, you're on 98.7. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Dave Rothenberg is definitely the Bill Belichick of reads. Let's end it right there.
Thank you.
Two quick thoughts. One about Belichick. One of the things I really admire about him is that they pick 29, 30, 32 in the draft over the last 20 years, and the Jets and Giants are always picking third, fourth, and we get worse, and he gets better.
That's amazing.
Truly amazing. And the other thought, I absolutely agree with you. Muhammad Ali once said, it's not the mount of the head that'll slow you down. It's the pebble in your shoe about paying attention to the little things. He is so detailed. They are so well prepared. They just seem light years ahead of everybody else in football. Thanks, guys.
Yep, appreciate it, because they are. That's why. How about the fact that the Giants didn't want to hire him as the head coach? Like, they went back in 90, 91, I guess it was, when Parcells left the Giants. They did not want Belichick as the head coach.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right?
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you could make the argument that he should be in, if he did nothing as a head coach, that he could be in the Hall of Fame as a defensive coordinator.
Probably should be. I mean, the game plan in the 1990/91 Super Bowl was one of the great game plans you've ever seen. against the Bills.
You realize what's happening right now. We had 1 year. The AFC East had 1 year. Mm-hmm. A 1 year reprieve, and now he's back with a rookie quarterback.
Their offensive line is excellent.
Excellent.
Their secondary is very good. Their defensive line is excellent. They're brilliantly coached. Their special teams is phenomenal. Their running game is getting better, and the quarterback will only get better. He's not going to regress. He'll only get better. So strap in, baby, because you have years of this now. Years.
You know what my only hope is? Here's my only hope, and this is never going to happen, is that the Giants, and I feel like he has a little special place in his heart for the Giants.
He does. Oh, he comes over?
I think that they need to.
Why would he do that now when they're back?
Okay, I'm willing to suck it up for the good of the Jets moving forward. Is they need to win a Super Bowl this year so he can shut everybody up.
You don't want that.
No, I do.
You would sign on for New England to win the Super Bowl this year?
It doesn't matter at this point. I want him out of my division.
You're so defeated.
I want him out of the AFC. I want him out.
He's
gone.
Not going anywhere.
And then John Mara flies to Nantucket and not just a regular check. I want one of the clearinghouse checks, the big giant
the big
checks.
Ones?
With his name on it in blank. Like Happy Gilmore style, whatever you want. You fill in the number. The czar of football for the New York Giants.
How good would that be?
Oh, my goodness. Get him out of the AFC East.
He's not going anywhere. I don't have those delusions of grandeur.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.